Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. We are absolutely overwhelmed at your response to our series of episodes on The Chosen. I'd like to say that our first two episodes were off the charts, but actually, they put us on the charts.
They sure did, Amy. You know, to me, it's always fun to look at the podcast charts. And for those who aren't familiar, I was telling my husband about this the other day, and he said, I had no idea there was such a thing for podcasts. So if you're our age and you remember the record charts, I don't know if they still have those or not. Maybe they do, but where you could look for the, you know, the number one record or whatever. It's kind of like that, but it's for podcasts. But anyway, it's always fun for me to look at our charts and see where, you know, just where in the world people are listening to A Word Fitly Spoken. There have been some really interesting countries that you know, I look and I think, oh, I want to visit there, you know, and see, meet these people who are listening to us. But we have made it into the top 250 podcasts nationwide in the religion and spirituality category and the Christianity category in countries all over the world on every continent except Antarctica. I guess we need to get some researchers or some penguins listening or something.
Yeah, Antarctica would be great. But, you know, last week we were so excited to finally make the charts right here in our home country, the good old USA, out of all the religion and spirituality podcast being broadcast in the United States. And by the way, that includes any kind of religion, Christianity, New Age, Judaism, Buddhism, what have you. A Word Fitly Spoken was ranked at 216 nationwide. And so that's pretty cool. And then in the Christianity category, which includes people with huge platforms like Joel Osteen, the Pope, Joyce Meyer, John MacArthur, and so on, we ranked 163 in the nation.
Yay! That was really exciting. You know, Amy, if I were the Pope, I would call my show The Pope Cast. And if I were a rabbi, I would call my show The Ephod Cast.
Oh, man.
If, I don't know if they still use ephods anymore, but anyway, I'm just being silly. But it was so exciting that I just had to throw a dad joke in there or a mom joke.
I thought about dad jokes and I was wondering, what in the world, Michelle?
But anyway, you know, the Christian category isn't just doctrinally sound Christians like most of our audience probably listens to. They throw all the Catholics in there. They throw the Mormons in there, even though, you know, we know that's not Christian. All the televangelists and the New Apostolic Reformation people and all the big name false teachers, too. So we were really excited. And just to give you an idea, Lisa Harper, who many of y'all are probably familiar with, she's a false teacher, but she's a well-known women's quote unquote Bible study author. And she's a conference speaker and things like that, too. She's on about the same level. If you've never heard of her before, she's on about the same level of fame as people like Priscilla Schreier and Christine Kane. And her podcast came in at 160 last week, and we came in at 163. So that kind of gives you a frame of reference of what a big deal this is for us. And we couldn't have done it without our wonderful audience listening and sharing with your friends. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. I would like to beat that 160 mark. So that's our new goal. We have to come in at 159 next week. So
that'd be great.
Just saying. But thank you. And you all seem to really like our little series on The Chosen. And you had a lot of thoughts about it, just like I knew you would. So we're going to wrap things up in this episode by addressing some of the comments that you made. Now, again, we want to remind you of a few things. First of all, if you're listening to this series far into the future, we want to remind you that all three of these episodes in our series only cover seasons 1 and 2 of The Chosen, because as of the date we're recording this right now, that's all that's been released. And second, if you don't like spoilers, you're going to need to put this series of podcast episodes aside until you've finished watching seasons 1 and 2 of The Chosen. And finally, if you haven't yet listened to our parts 1 and 2 of our series on The Chosen, we would encourage you to put this one on pause right now and go back and listen to those episodes in order, because the episodes build on each other and this one will make a lot more sense when you hear the first two. Okay. So, all that being said, let us get into your comments on The Chosen, and we'll respond to those as well. Wanted to get the ball rolling with this comment from Marie, who tweeted this response to us when we posted season two. She said, "You missed the twist to scripture with the Samaritan woman. When she mentioned that Jews claim the temple was the only place to worship and that they didn't have Jesus say what he said in the scriptures, he told her they know who they worship." Well, that's true. Jesus didn't say what he said in scripture. So let me go ahead, if you're not familiar, and read John chapter 4, this incredible passage about the woman at the well. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to pick it up at verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem, that's the place where people ought to worship." And here's the part where Marie was tweeting to us. This is what Jesus and the production did not say. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So that's what the real Jesus said. And then this, I have to read the next two lines, Michelle, because this is just my favorite part of scripture. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and read this part. "The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.'" I just love that part. Anyway, what Jesus is saying here is that very soon there will not be a need to go to a temple to worship. He was about to pay the ultimate price for our sins by dying on a cross. The temple curtain hadn't happened at that point yet, but the temple curtain at his crucifixion will be torn in two, no longer separating the people from God. His children would soon be able to worship him anytime and from anywhere, in spirit and in truth. So the real scripture says this so clearly. It puts it all out there. And unfortunately, that part got missed in The Chosen, when the actor says, Jews know who they worship. So the movie does a disservice to the reality of what God said. And you know, that's my thought on this. Michelle, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, and the, you know, The Chosen really did a disservice to the reality of what God said in a lot of cases, unfortunately. Yeah. I was really glad that you grabbed that comment from Marie, I think it was.
Yes.
Because, you know, I had to tell her on Twitter when I saw her tweet that there were so many things that we could have addressed, and we just were not able to get to all of them. So I'm glad she brought that up, and I'm glad that you grabbed that as well for this episode.
That was the second episode that we aired was on just the content of the series, and that episode went, I think, longer than an hour. So we did what we could with what we what we knew we could squeeze in there.
But, you know, it raises a good point, because there are several instances in The Chosen where, to me, it seems like it would have been just as easy to stick to what was in scripture as to change it the way that they did. Another incident that comes to my mind is in one of the early episodes in season one. I forget which episode it was, but it's the episode where Jesus is going to get in the boat and speak to the crowd that's on the shore. Mm-hmm. Well, they have Jesus get in the boat, and he stands in the boat to teach them. Well, scripture says he sat. He sat in the boat, you know, and it would have just been just as easy for him to sit down as it was for him to stand up. So I don't really understand. And The Chosen is not the only Bible movie that does that, or has done that. So, you know, I don't really understand where, especially in cases where it would be just as easy to do or say what scripture did or said, they change it. That doesn't make any sense to me. So anyway. All right. On to our next comment. One of my Instagram followers asked, but would you agree or disagree that the gospel is being told through this series? And I thought that was a really great question because whenever we hear Dallas Jenkins talking about The Chosen, it seems like he has said or at least implied that this was his goal, to share the gospel with this series. But my answer is no, I do not agree that The Chosen is sharing the gospel in such a way that people can know how to be saved simply by watching the show. Let's think about it together. I'm going to explain the gospel to you, listeners, and as I'm doing that, you think back over all the episodes in seasons 1 and 2 of The Chosen and see if you can remember any of these things taking place in the show. Okay? So in order to share the gospel with someone, you have to explain what sin is. You have to explain that the person you're witnessing to, that she has personally transgressed a holy God. It doesn't, you know, all these nebulous remarks about, you know, everybody has sinned, and it's got to really be personal to her. So you have to explain that. You have to explain that the penalty for her sin is an eternity in hell. You have to explain that she must repent of her sin and what repent means. You have to explain that she must place her faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as the perfect sacrifice for her sin and the payment for the penalty for her sin. Now, a couple of those things have been touched on very briefly, very subtly, if you were looking for them and knew what you were looking for. But none of that has been clearly, blatantly proclaimed or explained. So, and that's the gospel. So no, I don't think it has been clearly presented in this show. And even if they were trying to clearly proclaim the gospel, at the end of season 2, which, like we said, that's all that's been released so far, the show hasn't gotten to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus yet. And there is no gospel without that. So, and you know, to be fair, I would say basically the same thing about practically any Jesus movie or even things like a child's storybook Bible. When you just tell the narrative story of Jesus' life, you're not getting much, if any, of the actual plan of salvation, because sharing the gospel is didactic or direct teaching, not narrative or storytelling. When you read the Gospels in the Bible, you read all of those long didactic passages where Jesus explains the gospel, but you don't generally get that in a movie or TV show because movies and TV shows have to keep the action moving. But also, a lot of what we know about how to be saved comes from other New Testament books besides the Gospels. I mean, think of the Romans Road method of presenting the gospel. You know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's all in Romans, not the Gospels. And then finally, getting back to whether or not The Chosen is presenting the gospel, after last week's episode, when we talked about the sin cycle part of the Bible study on The Chosen, looking at that, I am not convinced that the people in charge of The Chosen actually know what the gospel is. And I'm not going to rehash all of that. You can go back and listen to it again if you need to. But there were some serious, major problems with whatever that was. I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be a gospel presentation or not. So, Amy, did you have any thoughts on whether or not the Chosen is presenting the gospel? Do you think somebody could get saved just by watching the show?
In short, no. You get saved by the Holy Spirit opening your eyes to the truth about Jesus being Savior and Messiah. And you shared the gospel so beautifully, Michelle. All of the elements were there. And, you know, believe and you will be saved. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, the real untwisted word from the scriptures, that Jesus Christ is eternal and not a created being, that he came from heaven to be that sacrifice, a blood atonement for our sins, which we could never wipe away. He did that for you and for me. You know, like you said, Michelle, it has to be personal when we repent. And when he died, witnesses saw him. He was resurrected from that grave, and witnesses watched as he ascended into heaven. You know, this is the hope that we have in a risen Christ, which we don't see in this TV show. You know, the actor in the movie is not a risen Christ. He's an actor, a sinful man, and believing in a character that he plays is not the same thing as believing in Christ, especially since, as you said, Michelle, the full gospel has not been presented in this film series, not even a little bit. Okay, that's my thought on that. Here's our next comment, and this one is from our Facebook page from Anna Joy. And she said, people's comments about how much the show revealed the real Jesus never really sat well with me. The real Jesus is a revealed person in Scripture. Yeah, I agree that the character of Jesus does not reveal the real Jesus. I mean, the character never could. And I get that they were, you know, going for compassion. I will say that the actor did a great job at capturing the writer's interpretation of Jesus's compassion and, you know, the emotionalism that goes with all of this. But if this movie series inspired watchers to go look up the real Jesus in their Bible, great. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, nobody has said that they've done that, but they would find that the two Jesuses are very different from one another. I went to there are probably hundreds of thousands of comments just from all the things that The Chosen has posted on Facebook and their advertisements. People get in a comment on those. I'm just going to share three of them and see if these sit well with you, Michelle. The first one is, I've watched season one 3 times already. I cannot watch it enough. We are hungry for truth. And I would say, yeah, people are hungry for truth, but I know they're not getting it really in full in the Chosen movie. A second comment that I found, nowhere else in the world can you go to find refuge from the many conflicts going on in the world in these latter days. Oh, I've got a few ideas where you can go, but it's not turning on the television or watching a YouTube video, no. And the third comment I pulled is this. This one is really interesting. This woman wrote, this is the Jesus I've always known in my heart, not the constrained one religions portray. So refreshing. And here's one about the Chosen book by Jerry Jenkins. I'm going to throw one more in. Jerry Jenkins, as we explained in the last episode, is Dallas's father. And she wrote, I read my book, this is the Chosen book by Jerry Jenkins, I read my book every night while settling in for a good night's sleep. I loved the book, and it brought a deeper understanding after watching the series. Are you catching this, Michelle? Are you seeing that she is relying on a book about a movie and a movie to try to understand God? These comments are just so strange and so heartbreaking.
Yeah, I agree. On my Facebook page, I guess because you and I have been sharing these episodes about The Chosen on our Facebook pages, their sponsored posts for advertising show up in my Facebook on my Facebook page. I don't know about yours.
Yes.
And so I have had the opportunity to click on some of those posts and to read some of the comments from people, and it's heartbreaking and it's angering all at the same time because, you know, this is just, these are the things like you just read that people are saying, and people are confusing what they're seeing in The Chosen with Scripture, and they shouldn't be doing that. I mean, that's dangerous. I mean, that's idolatry, really. And that's that last that last comment you read, this is the Jesus I've always known in my heart. No, this is the idol you have always fashioned in your heart that you named Jesus, okay? Because what's in The Chosen is not the Jesus of Scripture. There are some similarities, yes, and there are some accurate parts, yes, but it's not the Jesus of Scripture. And that is what I have kept saying to people, you know, stop confusing what you're seeing in The Chosen with the Jesus of the Bible, because it's not the same Jesus. And you cannot get to know the real Jesus better by watching The Chosen, because this is not the real Jesus that they're portraying. Okay, moving on. Here's a comment that I thought was interesting. If you're familiar with the backstory of The Chosen, you know that the way they financed all of this was through crowdfunding, basically, you Amen. Know, people making donations. And a gentleman on our Facebook page had this to say. He said this, "I invested way back at the very beginning and now regret it. They made it sound much different. And the video they put out as an example wasn't even part of the show." And I think by that he means that they showed a trailer of some sort to interested donors. Going on with his comment, he says, "Trusting God for his will and provision on the show, my investment, and the souls of those who watch it and are part of making it." And then another gentleman commented and asked him, "I'm curious, what did they do differently than what they initially said?" And the original gentleman responded, "They said that they were going to be biblical with some creative license and backstory. They have become more unbiblical creative backstory than biblical truth. Their quote-unquote advisory group is made up of very suspect men, and they are very much intertwined with Mormon producers and video companies, as well as using LDS sets. None of these things were disclosed before accepting investment." So I don't have a whole lot to add to that. I just wanted to throw that out there because I think there are probably a number of people who donated early on and now have regrets about that because of the direction the content of the show has gone and because of the things going on behind the scenes. The only thing I would really add it is just to, you know, if you're hearing this, learn from this gentleman's experience. If you have an opportunity to donate to a new organization or project that claims to be Christian or biblical, do your homework, as I'm sure this gentleman did. But then you might also want to wait a while and see how things progress before actually donating your money to it, because things could change from what they initially tell you, as it seems this gentleman has experienced. So, Amy, did you want to add anything about that?
Yeah, I also have a friend who said she donated early on and now regrets it. So I think that's probably a pretty common theme. You know, the money goes toward the production, but it also goes toward the salaries of the actors, all of the people who are involved and so on. A couple of notes from some of the folks involved in addition to what we already reported on. First, one of the spiritual advisors that this gentleman you had mentioned, Michelle, talked about for The Chosen TV series. His name is Rabbi Jason Sobel, and his theology is very suspect. Once he went on the Sid Roth television show to share all the secrets of the future that a Jesus told him in heaven. Yeah, that's kind of a guy who is, advising people on this show. And now Sid Roth, if you don't know, he's a signs and wonders guy who is really a dangerous teacher to mark and avoid. But Mr. Sobel, Rabbi Sobel, claims that he first met Jesus as a Buddhist Jew during a Buddhist meditation. Right? Okay. And after that, the rabbi appeared on TBN, or as I like to say, Total Blasphemy Network, or Total Baal News, to share, and I'm serious, avoid TBN teachers as much as you can. Every single yes. one of them, I can't think of anybody solid to talk about who's involved in TBN. But anyway, he went on TBN to share about how to unlock the secrets in the Bible. We've heard that before. There are no secret revelations in Scripture. The Bible is written plainly, not in code, and the Holy Spirit reveals truth. That's how it works. You know, you read it and the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to know that these things are true. And the second thing is, talking about affiliations and that kind of thing, the actor who plays Jesus in the movie, Jonathan Rumi, has several ads promoting a Catholic Bible app. He's a Catholic, and the app is called Halo. Now, Halo, this is how Halo promotes its own app. It says, "Halo is a digital platform that aims to energize faith lives and enable conversations with God through guided prayer." Okay, that's something to kind of, a couple red flags there. We don't have conversations with God where, we talk and then he talks and we listen to him and then we say a few more things and he talks back. That, no, our prayers are, coming before him and speaking to him. He's spoken to us through Scripture. We don't wait for him to answer back. He's given us his word, and that should be sufficient. Okay. Our next comment is from Trisha from Ohio. And she wrote to us on Facebook, one main thing I struggled with in season two, she writes, was Mother Mary being included in so many scenes. I'm concerned this inclusion caters to the Catholic audience and it makes the truth confusing. My husband joked, it's Jesus, the 12 disciples, and Mother Mary. Like Jesus is needy to have his mother so constantly around. And what happened with the other siblings of Christ that Mother Mary has been seen with in Scripture? Having her in so many scenes is weird. Well, Trisha, I have to agree. And also, of course, the inclusion of Mary Magdalene, which we've talked about, but Jesus's mother was not really a huge part of Jesus's ministry with his disciples, where they're traveling around. Scriptures don't mention her much at all, except in a few places, like when she comes with her other children out of concern for Jesus, and the crowd says, Jesus, your mom is here with your brothers and sisters. I'll just read the whole thing. He said from Matthew 12, let's read this. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So including Jesus's mother as one of his so-called disciples traveling alongside him is weird, but you have to remember that the Catholic Church teaches that Mary is a sinless co-redemptrix. In other words, she was born without sin, and you can pray directly to her for, among other things, your salvation, which, you know, two things that just aren't true. And I also want to point out, Michelle, that the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church is that salvation is not by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. The Roman Catholic Church system teaches that one must have good works and observe the rituals of Roman Catholicism in order to be saved. I'm going to include a link to the white paper we wrote on Roman Catholicism in our show notes. Do you have any thoughts on that, Michelle?
Yeah, just to kind of build on what you were saying there at the end, they don't just teach that salvation is not by faith alone, grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. They actually teach that anyone who believes that salvation is by faith alone, by grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, is damned or is anathema.
Anathema, correct.
So it's, you know, it's pretty, and I'm not just saying that, you know, whenever we say Catholics believe this, Catholics believe that, invariably a Catholic will show up and say, oh, that's not what we really believe. But that's what it says in the Council of Trent.
Right.
You know, that's
the
what it says in your own documents. Huh?
Yeah, I actually have a Catholic catechism that I received from a priest way back when I was Catholic. And I will say, Michelle and I love Catholic people. We really do. I've got dear family members and friends who are in the Catholic faith. And I will say, I love them dearly. Nicest people in the world. It's the system that is full of lies. And also, you know, they deny the authority of Scripture alone. So, you know, that's like saying that a priest or, you know, somebody high up in the Catholic magistrate would have equal authority to what Scripture says.
Right.
So, and traditions and that kind of thing. So, yeah, look into that. Again, I'll put that white paper out there so you can do your own research.
Right. And just to round that part of what we're talking about out, when you talk to a person who's Catholic and say, Catholicism teaches this, and they say, no, that's not what we really believe, I always want to say, well, this is what your own church teaches, and if you don't believe it, why are you still in this church?
Right.
So we do love our Catholic friends, and we pray that you will read your scriptures and come to know the true Christ of Scripture, the way that Scripture prescribes. And then one other thing I wanted to add about Mary following them around all the time, you know, like you were talking about before from that other comment, is that think about how old Mary is at this point. I mean, if you do the math, she's probably at least in her mid-40s. She's getting old, you know, not that any of you ladies out there in your mid-40s are old, but back then, because we're in our 50s, so we could say that. But anyway, you know, back then with medical care being what it was, life expectancy being what it was, You know, she's probably not up to traipsing around the countryside following Jesus around everywhere. So that's another part of it that you might want to consider. All right, the next comment is from a lady on our Facebook page, and here's what she said in response to some other comments that were pointing out biblical problems with The Chosen. Here's her comment. I would like to say that this is merely a show like unto the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, which brings many in humility, both non-believer and believer, to want to learn more, in my opinion. The nitpicking arrogance which abounds according to a personal brand of religion, of which there are thousands under the umbrella of, quote, Christian churches, all claiming to be, quote, right with their interpretations and policies, while demeaning another's vision slash interpretation slash gift given for the moment in time, never ceases to amaze me. God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform, and we need to be careful when we feel we must sit in a high seat judging something that brings people to stop their busyness, having been pricked now in their hearts to learn more. I feel the Holy Spirit with each episode as I hear the words in my heart to, quote, come follow me, unquote. I would rather be a doer of the word led by the Holy Spirit rather than a nitpicker of another's interpretation of it. Beware the mote, just saying. Okay, so this is your basic, you know, judge not lest ye be judged comment that Amy and I could practically recite in our sleep. I'm sure some of you are familiar with too. So here was my response to this lady. I said, I certainly agree with you that we need to be careful not to make unbiblical judgments about each other's choices about whether or not to watch the show. That choice is an area of Christian liberty. And, you know, we addressed that in part two last week. However, if you haven't had a chance to listen to our episodes, I would strongly encourage you to do so. There are a lot of unbiblical things about The Chosen itself that it's important to be aware of and reject because they don't line up with Scripture. That's not unbiblical judgment. That's biblical judgment and discernment, which Christ calls us to throughout the New Testament and the Old to carefully exercise. Also, unless the Holy Spirit is moving you to pick up your Bible and study it as a result of watching The Chosen, I would urge you to reject the notion that He is somehow at work in and through the content of this show. The Bible is clear that only Scripture is inspired or breathed out by the Holy Spirit, and we find that in 2 Timothy 3:16. Only Scripture is living and active as a result of that inspiration, which is Hebrews 4:12. And only Scripture is perfectly sufficient and complete, or, you know, it is all we need, for life and godliness. And that's going to be 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 and 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. Please don't get your theology and beliefs from The Chosen. There is far too much error in it. Get your theology and beliefs from the only perfect, inerrant, infallible source from the lips of God Himself, the Bible.
Oh, amen. I completely agree, Michelle. And, you know, we want to emphasize that doctrine is important. You know, doctrine is just another word for instruction or teaching, and it tells us who God really is and who we really are. So, you know, the Pharisees, sometimes we're accused of being Pharisees. But in the Bible, the Pharisees were guilty of unbelief and elevating man-made laws over God's word. You know, they actually added to. So they were not guilty of being too focused on the Bible. That, no, the idea that focusing on the Bible too much will somehow cause us to miss God or the Holy Spirit. No, that's just not the case. And so we are called to be discerning. We're called really, I mean, if you look at Acts chapter 11, verse 17, where Paul's talking about how commendable the Bereans were for saying, I really love your teaching, Paul, but I'm going to be looking you up in Scripture to see if the these things were true. We all need to do that. We all need to compare what we hear to the real breathed out word of God. Now, you know, this lady who was commenting, I think she was being unbiblically judgmental of people finding legitimate biblical fault with the chosen and choosing not to watch because of it, because of those faults. But and of course, we're not to be demeaning or mean or anything like that. But I want to remind us that there is unbiblical judgment happening on the other side of the fence as well. And we touched on this last week in part two of this podcast series. And it, basically, just be careful that you're not unbiblically judging other brothers and sisters in Christ who have decided to watch this program, The Chosen. Because I've seen some pretty harsh comments on social media, and I know you have too, Michelle, from people who are not watching the show toward people who are watching the show. And there might be different reasons that you haven't even thought of for people actually watching. So let's be careful about how we treat others who have made a different choice in an area of Christian liberty, which this really is, different than what we have. And let's watch the attitude of our own heart toward them. And also, I want to add one more thing about that, particularly for people who are offended by the show and don't see how any Christian could possibly watch it, or maybe you think everyone watching it is deceived or just blindly believing everything they see on the show. Well, you may not realize it, but that's not the only kind of professing Christian who's watching the show. There are other people you see commenting, you know, gushing really on The Chosen's social media posts like, oh, this is just the most wonderful thing that I've ever seen. I never really liked the Bible, but I love this show. It's brought me so much closer to Jesus, you know. But then you have people like Michelle and I who are watching this thing cautiously and discerningly just to see what it's all about. Maybe even so others can warn their friends and loved ones who are watching the show about how this is unbiblical. So listen to these comments from our Instagram page. I'm going to read a couple. These are typically a lot of the I'm watching but cautiously comments that we have received. Here's one that says, I have to admit, I am enjoying the show so far, but I need to catch up on some of this season's episodes. With all the things, we must use discernment and compare these things to Scripture. I do realize the lives portrayed by these actors of the disciples do not represent exactly what Scripture teaches, and there is more I could add, but this show for me has been encouraging compared to other things in life. With that said, I'm watching with caution. All right, so that's good. So just be aware that, yes, there are professing Christians out there eating this stuff up with a spoon, but there are also discerning Christians watching it who are not being snookered. Michelle, any thoughts on that?
No, I think you summed that up really well. I think we just need to be careful, like you said, about not judging other people who have made a different choice in an area of Christian liberty than we have. And we really even, like you said, have to guard our hearts against, you know, how we even think about people who have made a different choice than we have. So, and like I said, I think last week in part two, watching this show is not a sin unless you're believing it over the Bible, okay? Or unless you're acting sinfully somehow because of it. So there are people who are mature in Christ and they, you know, they have their Bible straight, they have their doctrine straight and everything. And maybe they're, like you said, just watching it out of curiosity. Or maybe, you know, I think one of the ladies that commented said that this was being discussed in her Bible study class and she wanted to know what was going on so she could correct people, you know, in her Bible study class. So there's a variety of reasons why people might be watching The Chosen. So let's just be careful.
All right. Well, and we've spent three episodes on The Chosen. I think we've done our duty here, and hopefully this has blessed you. We hope you've enjoyed our series on The Chosen. We've got a lot of great links for you in the show notes of all of our episodes. You can find those at our website, awordfitlyspoken.life. And while you're over there, don't forget to check out all our other information and consider supporting us financially through PayPal or Patreon. And until next time, whether or not you've chosen to watch The Chosen, compare everything you see and hear to Scripture and walk worthy.